Hi guys, I wanted to give a quick trigger warning before we got into the episode. We touch on a lot of sensitive topics, some of which are about self-harm or sexual harassment. So if any of these topics are especially sensitive for you, I would really consider whether or not you want to continue with the episode. But without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome to Under the Hood, where we aren't afraid to pop open the hood and inspect the important parts of life. I'm your host, Sanaa Hood, and today I'm here with
Alex.
and Osa. Yeah. We actually filmed this like a week ago, but I don't know what happened, guys. Like, the recording got lost, so they graciously came back to help re-record this for you guys.
Happy to be back
Happy to
in
be
your
so
lovely apartment.
happy.
The way she was like, "Hey guys, it got deleted."
I
All
didn't
she
think.
said.
Yeah, I didn't actually think it happened because I just woken up and then I went back to sleep after that. So when I woke up the second time, I had to check to make sure it wasn't like a dream.
Nightmare. So, judging by the title, we're going to be talking about dating today. Yeah, just any advice we have, any experiences we've had, and hopefully this can be helpful to someone out there who is struggling, who is in the trenches, actually. So I just have some questions for my guests here on the topic. So, first, are you good? Yeah, guys, yeah, we just gonna say we're all single. So take our advice with a grain of salt, actually. And to be honest, I've never dated anyone, so really take my advice with a grain of salt. But so my first question I had for you guys was, what purpose has dating served for you in the past?
I think in the past, dating has definitely served me the purpose of just like filling up like a void in my heart where like I just really valued validation and just like getting love from other people. So I thought that like, oh, if I dated, then like, no, it's not gonna love me. Like, I'm gonna have all that validation that I so desperately like want. That didn't work because like I realized that like the only way to like fill up that like hole in my heart is like through God, and no matter how many boys I date, it just won't ever work. But that's what it like served for me in the past.
Yeah, I think for me, dating served kind of a similar thing, like validation. Like it proved that I could be loved or that I was like attractive. Because I really struggled with that growing up. So if I felt some sort of like connection with somebody and they actually like didn't reject me, it was super, I don't know if it's like an ego inflating thing, but it made me feel lovable. And that was something I like struggled with. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, even though I haven't actually dated, I think I really wanted to be in a relationship for that validation element. Like how you're saying, like, oh, like if someone likes me, then I'm attractive, you know? And so kind of wanting that validation, and then when I never dated anyone, I was like, okay, that's obviously like a me problem. Like something's off, something I need to work on, something I need to glow up in, and that has to be the reason why I just haven't been in a relationship. Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to add something. I think also, like, for me, I struggled with even just friendships growing up, like, even with
Yeah.
other girls. I really had a hard time, and I really, like, longed for, like, a close friendship or, like, a best friend. And so, inevitably, when, like, a guy likes you or, like, you like them, you guys just talk a lot. And I think it also filled for me, like, some sort of, like, yearning I had for just a best friend. I think it actually pulled me away from, like, focusing on my friendships with other girls because, I don't know, it just did.
Yeah, no. I feel like a lot of people deal with that a lot. Like you see like relationships, not to like diss anybody. Like it's really, yeah, it's not like a diss or anything. I just think sometimes people find that best friend in their partner. And so yeah, they kind of just forget how valuable like platonic friendships can be, and that you can have multiple people in your lives, not just like your significant other.
Wait, low key, Because you mentioned, like, not feeling, like, attractive when you were younger. Did anyone, like, go through the pipeline of, like, being, like, considered, like, kind of, like, ugly or, like, unattractive in, like, middle school? And then suddenly in, like, high school or, like, college even, everyone's like, oh, my word, you're so pretty, da-da-da. And then, like, it kind of gets to your head and you're like, oh, I'm pretty? Wait, maybe, like, I can, like, finally get someone to like me now. And then you get yourself in, like, really weird situations because you're, like, not used to that attention. But once you get the attention, you're like, oh, my word, I want more of it.
Yeah. I think.
Why'd you just stare at me?
Because you said a lot, so my brain was trying to, like, process. But, yeah.
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 And, you know, it was me. I feel like I struggled with what Alex said. And, like, okay, lucky for me, it just because I went to, like, a majority, like, white school. So, I was, like, the only black girl. And then, like, I don't think I was ever actually, like, considered ugly. It was more like, oh, she's the only
not-white
person.
You just don't look like everybody else. Yeah.
So, like, it was weird going to high school where I like, my high school was, like, mainly, like, black, Hispanic, and, like, Asian. So, like, going there, everyone's like, oh, my, you're so pretty. You're so this, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, oh, my, they're lying. But then, like, I got, like, used to it. And then I started getting, like, actual male attention. I was like, wait, I like this. I want more of it. And it's, like, such a weird feeling to, like, start receiving that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird for me, too, transitioning to college. This is off topic. But, like, for me, coming to college was very interesting because, like, I didn't get much, like, attention from guys. Like, I didn't get approached by guys in high school. But then in college, I would be getting approached by, like, guys, and they were, like, old, too. There was, I would just, like, meet somebody, you know, in college, like, oh, like, we're friends. And then I'd find out that they're, like, 23. And I'd be, like, wait, hold on a second. This is really weird. And then just multiple experiences like that where I was, like, oh, like, people actually don't always have good intentions, like, with, like, just being friendly, because then as soon as you stop, like, reciprocating it, or, like, when you draw a line and it's very clear that you're, like, not interested, they all of a sudden, like, are not your friend anymore. That was kind of hard, too, because, being a freshman and not having any friends, and thinking that you're making friends, and then when you have to actually, like, clarify things, all of a sudden they don't want to be your friend anymore. It really hurts.
No, it's literally so upsetting because that like happened to me in high school, and I was like, I was very shy and like not that talk. I know I talk a lot now, but like I wasn't talked of then. So like I would like make these guy friends, and then they'll be like talking amongst themselves like about me, and I will overhear, and I'm like, oh my word, they like actually don't want to be my friend. They're just like try to like see who can get me first, and that's so like dehumanizing. Like it's so weird because like I just want a friend, you know what I mean? And it's like finding out that like people like didn't have like your best interests at heart and are just there for their own benefit. So it's so hurtful.
Yeah. So I know both of you have been in like past relationships. So I just wanted to see like what lessons have you learned from those relationships?
Okay, I think. Yeah, I was in a relationship my, like, sophomore year of high school. Maybe, no, it was my junior year of high school. And looking back, I was so much younger. Like, I thought I was so old, but I wasn't. And I think it's so hard to say this now because I don't, like, blame my younger self for not being, like, wise because I was just younger. I hadn't experienced as much stuff. But I, like, really, I think I put up with maybe, I let myself feel bad for things that I shouldn't have felt bad for. Like, it takes a certain amount of, like, maturity in a relationship to know when you bother, like, you doing something that hurts somebody else is actually, like, something that you need to feel extremely guilty about, and when it's just an accident or when it's, like, not on purpose. And so I took a lot of, like, normal relationship things like that like I did, you know, you do something to hurt something that hurts the other person, and I took that to be like, wow, I'm like not I'm not like caring about him enough, or like I'm not being considerate enough. And I'm also hesitant to say that it was like purposeful on his part because we were both like young, but I do think there was a certain amount of like maybe intentional, maybe unintentional manipulation or making me feel like guilty for like my boundaries or things that I set in place, like, oh, you must not love me, things like that. And I think I went into it not as mindful of that, like I wasn't looking out for it, and I definitely am now. Like, those are things I look out for in any type of like relationship with people, and I like pay attention to it, but then I didn't. And so I think lesson is, like, not ignoring that early on and kind of, like, standing up for myself in those respects. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of similar. Because I had, like, guys, I was super scared of, like, dudes. Like, they weirded me out. So I didn't have, like, my first relationship to, like, senior year of high school. And he had, like, a variety of, like, anger issues and was, like, would be, like, because, like, I would try to, like, break it off at points, but then he would be like, oh, I'm gonna hurt myself. So then, like, I couldn't break it off. So, like, it was, like, kind of, it was, like, my first relationship, so I was, like, scared, and I was just, like, young. Like, I was only, like 17, I guess. And at that age, you don't really know what you're doing. You don't, like, hurt anyone either. So mm-hmm. it was, like, a really awkward situation. Mm-hmm. Plus, it was, like, during COVID as well. So just, like, weird all around. It was, like, when the school started opening up. But, like, it was just, like, a weird situation. And, like, I learned to, like, have boundaries and, like, have my own, like, restrictions, I guess. I felt like I let a lot slide in that relationship. Guys, when I tell you, literally during that, my grandma died, and I told him about it, and he was like, well, at least you're hot. And I was like, huh?
Oh my word.
Literally cried. But aww. Yeah, I let a lot of things slide. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now I'm, like, learning, like, just how to, like, set boundaries and not, like, let people walk all over me, I guess, just to, like, keep them happy, because, like, I'm very people pleaser, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's what I learned from, like, that first thing.
I want to add something that I forgot to say earlier. You made me think of it, Osa, but, like, in a relationship, especially, like, when you're dating somebody, you're not married. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You are not their wife, and that's not your husband. And so, like, taking it upon yourself, like, thinking it's your responsibility to, like, maintain their, like, well-being, like, their mental and physical well-being. If you're gonna start dating somebody who's, like, unstable emotionally and can't handle a lot of, like, stresses in a healthy way, it's not, like, your job to, like, fix them or, like, help them work through that. That probably means that they're not, like, ready to be in a relationship with you. Like, if it feels like your burden to make sure that they're doing okay all the time, that's something that I didn't realize. I didn't keep an eye out for it ahead of time. I wasn't even, like, thinking that was, like, potentially something that I should, like, a red flag. I didn't even realize that was even something I should be, like, looking out for. And, like, before you know it, it's, like, you feel like if you don't hang out with somebody, they're going to be really sad. Mm-hmm. Or, like, if you don't spend enough time with somebody, they're going to get depressed. Or, like, the depression's going to come back. Things like that, where, especially for, like, being as young as I was, it was, like, like, there were so many other more important things for me to be focusing on at that time in my life.
Yeah.
And that's why I have to be mindful of now, is, like, is this something where we're both going to be, like, making each other better and encouraging each other? And, like, just being around the other person should be, like, making you better and vice versa. And so making sure that you're not, like, viewing people as projects, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, like, I see the potential. But it's, like, you should both be growing and maturing and becoming, like stronger, more stable people.
Yeah.
But you can't be that for someone. You can't mm-hmm. you can't be, like, holding them up all the time. And that's something that changes once you're married. Like mm-hmm. you've decided to commit your life to that person and, like, vice versa. And so then it changes, because it's, like, you'll inevitably go through seasons of, like, difficulty. Mm-hmm. But when you're, like, dating somebody, like, that's because you're gonna marry them. And so putting that upon yourself, putting that responsibility on yourself when it's, like, you're still trying to find out if this person is somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with is, like, something that I think I've learned from past relationships. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's, like, if you're looking to get in a relationship and have a significant other to add something to your life, to, like, fill this, like, gap in your life, mm-hmm. then you shouldn't be getting in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, it's, you have to be at a point where it's, like, your life is whole.
Mm-hmm.
You're whole as a person, and just having that significant other just, like, it's like, oh, it's, like, a nice little touch. Like, it's nice to have someone. Mm-hmm. It's nice to take care of someone mm-hmm. or someone to take care of you. But it's, like, you shouldn't need, like,
right,
that
right,
person.
Right, right.
Like, you shouldn't
yeah.
need that relationship.
Yeah.
It's just, like, you want that relationship. Like, it yeah. shouldn't fill that thing in you.
Us, they were talking about this at retreat. But, like the, like wanting to just love somebody and care about somebody
yeah.
is different. Because I think when I was younger, I viewed relationships in the lens of, like, oh, I want to be cared about. I
yeah.
want to be, like, loved. Mm-hmm. And, like, as I've gotten older, it's, and I've become more, like, secure in myself and content in myself, and I don't feel like I'm, like, missing something that will be filled by a relationship. It's more mm-hmm. of a, wow, I want to, like, love somebody else, which is, like, yeah. such a big shift, I think. Yeah.
I think, like, adding on to that, I feel like it's super easy to, like, just, like, blame yourself when, like, that relationship ends, because, like, it just didn't work out, or, like, you just put in, like, so much work into it, and now that it's, like, over, just, like, Omar, it's, like, all my fault. Mm. But, like, for those type of situations, like, I think there's, like, a season in, like, everything, and, like, you know, like, multiple lessons can be learned from, like, these relationships. It's not, like, you just, like, failed at life, you know what I mean? Like, you're still growing as a person, and, like, especially, like, when we, like, started dating when you were younger, like, you're still, like, improving, and you're still, like, growing from that, and you're, like, take all these lessons and, like, use that to, like, better, like, whatever relationship you, like, finally, like, you know, settle in and, like, get married, and, like, so it's not, like, it feels like a waste of time. And I feel like for me, like, all my, like, past, like, relationships feels like such a waste of time, but, like, you do take in, like, a lot of, like, lessons from that are, like, really useful for, like, the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we talked about, like what purpose dating has served for us in the past, and I feel like we can all agree that that wasn't the right mindset to have, but I just wanted to see, like, how has the definition of dating changed for you over time?
The definition for dating has been less of, like, okay, I want this and that and this and that, and if they can't do that, well, see you later, bud. Just less, like, me trying to find something in someone that I, like, literally can't fulfill. You know what I mean? And, like, now it's more like, okay, this is going to be, like, a courting type situation where, like, we're just going to get to know each other, see if we're, like, ready to, like, are we right for each other to, like, get married? Or should we just, like, you know, stay friends and, like, grow that relationship instead of, like, trying to, like, force it? I feel like in some situations you, like, try to force it and just doesn't work out, but whatever. Yeah. I feel like dating before was very, like, I don't know, I just wanted someone to be my person. But not necessarily that I'm their person. Like, you just need to be there for me, man. But, like, now it's more like, okay, we're, like, trying to see, like, are we ready for, like, a partnership to marriage? Which is, like, you know, a partnership and not just a hero and a sidekick.
Yeah, when I was younger, I think dating was, like, something where I knew it was supposed to be for marriage, but because I was so far away from marriage, it was kind of more of a, oh, we get along, and I like you, and you like me, so we'll just date, like, we'll be boyfriend and girlfriend, just to spend time with each other and, like, enjoy each other's company, and if I enjoy your company for long enough, we'll be old enough to get married. And I think I viewed it in that sense, like, it was still, like, to get married, but I don't think I actually treated it with the same sort of intentionality because it felt so far away. Whereas, like, now, I still view it as something that you do to work towards marriage, and you're going to date somebody to see if you guys work well together, and, like, oh, would it actually work out for us to spend the rest of our lives together? Because there's even some people who, like, who I'm friends with, but it's like, oh, I, like, we would not work out, like, in a dating relationship. And that's not that I don't, like, think they're a good person, or I think they're, like, cool, or that I don't enjoy their company, but it's like, we actually, our strengths do not work in a way where we would be, like, a good team. Like, actually, we have the same weaknesses, which would be really bad, because we can't help each other out. Like,
yeah.
We both, we would just actually, yeah, so things like that. Whereas now, I think it's something that I see as a lot more, like, special, maybe, not so casual, because when I was younger it was just something that, oh, you know, it'll happen maybe. Whereas now, if you're viewing it in the sense of moving towards marriage, then it's like a really special time where you're getting to know somebody intentionally, and you're not just, like, playing games. Because when I was younger, if you're dating somebody, it's kind of like, oh, do they like me? Oh, they like me. And then you figure out you like each other, and then it's like, it's all, like, you're, like, beating around the bush the whole time. And I think that the older I get, the more I, like, appreciate intentionality. And also, I was talking about courting. And that, like, we were... Actually, last time we filmed this, we were talking about that word, too.
Yeah.
Courtship is such a nice, like, way to look at it. Because it's just, like, there's no, like, gray area. Like, you know what's going on. And you know that y'all are, like, getting to know each other for the same reason. And I think it also allows you to be more honest with the person. Like, if you don't see that as your future, you don't have to feel like you led them on or you were, like, not clear about your intentions. Like, you both know why you were getting to know each other. And so when you realize that it's not going to work out, you can just be like, hey, let's have a really honest conversation about this. I don't see us working well together in the future. See, and I'm talking to you right now, so now I just don't see it working out long term. But doesn't that feel so much better than me ghosting you?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so things like that.
You called out.
We'll talk about this later, but Osa is a walking red flag.
Self-proclaimed.
No,
you did not put this on her.
I said that.
I bring back courting, literally.
Please.
Courting, discommunication, just laying things out there. Like, why waste time just beating around the bush? Like, and it doesn't also have to be, like, a deep thing, I feel. Mm-mm. Like, okay, if you're interested in someone, that doesn't mean, like, I'm head over heels for you. Right. Like, you can just be like, hey, I'm interested in you. Let's get to know each other further. Mm-hmm. Like, not that deep, but it's like you both know what you're going into, like you guys said.
Yeah. And then you don't have to, I think people, at least I get stuck in this loop where it's like, oh, was I just being, like, delusional? Or was I reading too much into it? Whereas it's so much nicer to be like, oh, yes, we are getting to know each other. Or, oh no, we're not anymore.
If you feel the need to just not speak on it, and then you're just like, oh, well, I'll just give a signal, and, like, they'll get it. They won't get it. Like, they just won't get it, because you're not, like, being verbally open with them. Like, of course, they're not going to, like, read your mind and be like, oh, this person, like, doesn't want to develop that type of relationship with me anymore. So, like, please make sure to just, like, be clear and direct, so that you're not hurting these people's feelings. We know it's scary. Of course it is. Because, like, it's, you know, it's confrontational. Like, you're explaining your feelings to another person. You're being vulnerable, whatever, da-da-da. But, like, it will work out the best when you just lay out everything in the open so that you and the other person are just, like, just know what's going on. You know what I mean? So, like, please make sure you're very clear. Thank you.
And it comes off as a lot more mature. Because you're like, verbally standing by your actions, too. You're not just, like, doing something and then not actually clarifying what it is that you just did or, like, what your intention was behind what you did. Because then it's easy for, if you never actually say why you're doing something, or, like, then later down the line, you can just stop and then be like, oh, there was nothing to that. Even if there was. That's something, too. Like, I was able to kind of just hide behind the fact that I never actually said that I was interested, so then if I, like, get hurt or I'm not interested anymore, I can just kind of back off, and I don't actually have to be honest with how I felt, too.
Okay, I do this, or I did this, where, like, I, like, will break it off, and then I'm very, like, naturally, like, affectionate and, like, touchy, so I'm like, oh my word, bestie, da-da-da-da, like, giving them hugs, whatever, da-da-da. That sends wrong vibes, wrong signals, and then it's not good. Give them space. Make sure that your actions also reflect what you're saying to them.
On that topic, what are some red flags in a partner, and what are some red flags that you guys have?
Which one should we do first?
Since we already kind of started talking about it, like, I keep looking at Osa, I'm sorry. What are some red flags that you think
you stop?
The side eye is so real right now. Red flags I have. I think... I
have none.
Oh, yeah. I have zero red flags, guys. No flaws, no nothing when it comes to relationships. No, I think for one, surface level, I hate texting. I don't want to text you. I actually don't want to FaceTime either. I just want to, like, just be like, hey, like, text, hey, let's meet up this time, this place, and then talk to me in person. But I feel like a lot of people in relationships, oh, it's like, ideally you can't see that person all the time, so you, like, text, call. I need to get better at that. And when I get busy, I forget to keep in touch with people. And I'm like, oh, you can't do that. So now, like, even, like, in platonic relationships, I guess another thing, this is really bad and I've been working on it, but I overanalyze every single little thing. And so I'll just be like, oh, they did this, so, like, they don't like me, or, like, they're annoyed by me, or just, like, and it'll just, like, go through my head, like, at night. I'll just be, like, laying in bed at, like, 12 a.m., and I'm just thinking about, like, a situation, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. Like, I'm so annoying to them now. And, yeah, it's actually so bad, y'all. No, yeah, I also have a trust thing, but we can unpack that later.
Similar to Sanaa, I also tend to, like, definitely overanalyze, and I'm just, like, taking the smallest thing and making it into the biggest matter. I'm all just, like, a very, like, insecure human being, so, like, I just think everyone hates me, man. So I'm just like, oh my word, they, like, didn't text me today. They, like, literally must hate my guts right now. But then also, if they send me, like, good morning texts, I get grossed out. So, like, I'm just conflicting. I'm not sure what I need from the texting front. Maybe just don't text. No, but do text. Wait, cut that out. I don't know what
I'm saying. This is part of the
I don't know what I want.
She doesn't know what she wants.
I don't know what I want. That's my red flag.
That's her red flag.
It's so different though, guys. Like, being an overthinker and, like, an introvert, and then also, like, a naturally, like, pretty negative human, like, person, I just don't know what I want. So, like, I used to be really bad, like, the ghosting front, because, like, I just didn't know. So, like, I didn't want to hurt their feelings. So I was like, okay, let's just stop texting them. Let's just stop, like, hanging out and, like, calling. Let's just, like, cut it. And then, like, they would see me in person, and I would, like, run away. Like, I would physically run and then hide behind a tree. And then hope they didn't see me. And they always did. And I was embarrassed. That happened last year. But other than that, I think I'm getting better with the red flags. Like, I'm still, like, overly critical of, like, myself when, like, it comes to relationships and, like, over-analytical. But I don't ghost anymore.
Good job.
Yay!
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
I think my red flag actually relates to Osa's red flag. I have very little, like, okay, I'm working on it. But naturally, I have very little empathy for people who don't deal with, like, problems within relationships head on. So, like, people who shut down. Actually, my sister won't mind me sharing this. My sister and my mom both react differently in conflict than, like, I do. So I had a really hard time growing up with them, because whenever they would feel hurt, they would, like, shut down and, like, isolate themselves. And that made me, like, really upset. And that really bothers me, because I kind of just want to talk about it. Like, hey, if we can clear this up as soon as possible, like, tell me what made you upset, that way I know. But, like, and I feel the same way when I'm hurt, I just want to talk about it right away, which I've been learning, I think, just because I want to talk about it right then, I probably should not, because I'm hurt, so I'll probably say things a little bit more, like, bluntly and rudely than I mean to. But I also think there's a balance between, like, shutting down, because then you've just removed yourself from the person that you care about. So I think that's probably one of my red flags, is I'm working on it, but I don't think I, like, naturally have a lot of empathy for people who isolate when they're hurt, just because I'm not that way. So just probably just communication style. And then I assume that if somebody wants me to know something, they'll tell me. But sometimes people communicate, like, not just through their words. So I assume, like, if somebody doesn't tell me something, I assume they don't think that. So if somebody doesn't tell me that they care about me, I'm just kind of like, well, if they did, they would just tell me, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily true. Yeah. Again, it's, yeah, like, communication styles. Like, people will show that they care about you through a lot of different ways.
I heavily related with the confrontation thing, but, mm-hmm, like, I relate to your mom and sister. I struggle with that so much, and that's something I'm working on. Like, I'm so non-confrontational, and I have just, like, I've always, like, had this mindset that, like, telling people how I truly feel about a situation only makes things worse. Mm-hmm. So I just have a natural tendency to, like, try to handle my emotions on my own. So if someone does something that, like, bothers me or, like, hurts me or whatever, or, like, annoys me, I'm just like, okay, that's a me problem.
Yeah.
So I just need to, like, handle on my own, and I'll just, like, I'm gonna like slow, like kind of distance myself just enough to where like I can just like calm down and just like get over it, and then I'll be back to my usual self. Mm. And that's what I always told myself, and that's what I've always done.
Yeah.
But I actually had a conversation with a friend a few weeks ago, and I was just upset about something. Not necessarily, it wasn't her fault, but like she was related to the situation, and so it was just a constant reminder of like the negative like emotions I had towards the situation. Mm. And so I was trying not to make it obvious that I was distancing myself to get over it, but I think it was obvious that I was like a little more quiet. Mm. Like I was just a little more withdrawn, I think, from the relationship. And she literally like, she's also a non-confrontational person, and she's working on that, but she like brought it up like one day when we were together, and she was just like, hey, like I just like felt like you've been a little different lately. And she was like, is it because of this? And I was like, should I just lie? Like, ask me a year ago, I would have just lied so quick. But I was like, no, I'm working on this. So I just told her how I felt, and that it was like more of a thing that like I was feeling on my part. It wasn't really something that like she did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that conversation really helped, because it's also like when you don't like talk about it, you start to think, okay, this person didn't realize they hurt me.
Yeah.
Like, they don't realize. And so you kind of get angry at the fact that, like, they don't know. But yeah. Sometimes people just don't realize. And so I feel like once you, like, or, like, they don't, you'll be like, oh, they don't care. Like, they hurt me. They don't care. They won't apologize. Girl, you didn't tell them anything to apologize for. But I think that conversation made me realize, like, oh, like, she does care, like, about my feelings. Mm. And that's something I wouldn't have known if we didn't have that conversation.
Right.
And, yeah. I think it's always just better to just talk it out maturely, because it just builds up resentment, I feel, inside, like, if you don't have that convo. Yeah, and I was just gonna say, that was, like, a friendship thing, but, like, that's, like, really bad within a romantic relationship, too. Like, you can't just withdraw from your partner. Imagine you're, like, married, and you're, like, angry at your spouse, like, but you're like, okay, I'm gonna go close myself off in the bathroom for a little while. Like, no, you have to talk to them about it. Yeah.
See, but you also can't talk about it right away when you're both mad.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of where I am. If I'm mad, I just want to, like, get it over with and say how I feel, because in the moment, I feel so reasonable. Like, in the moment, I feel so reasonable, and, like, I'm in the right. And I mean, that's what anger does to you. Yeah. It just makes you feel like, yeah, I'm right. And then I just want to talk about it right then. And so, communication, look at that. Everybody has to, like, figure out how to communicate with other people, because we're all not doing it 100% correctly.
Yeah. Or, like, I feel like it's so different when it comes to, like, friendships. Because, like, for friendship, I'm more like Alex. Like, I tend to be the one to, like, hey, let's talk about it. Like, okay, I, like, back away for, like, a minute. Like, let me collect my thoughts. Let me, like, not be angry right now. And then I'm like, okay, let's talk it out. But for, like, relationships, I'm more like, I'm just gonna go. And I don't know why it's different, actually. Well, I guess it's different because, like, for friendships, I'm assuming you probably knew this person longer. And then you're also, like, more wary of, like, their emotions. So, like, you want to, like, you know, talk it out first. And in, like, a relationship, it's just, like, I don't know. I don't know why I do that, actually. But it is something I'm working out, where, like, I need to, like, talk it out instead of, like, trying to, like, run away. Like, how... Yeah. Mm. I don't know where I was going with that.
Is it, like, a comfortability thing? Like, you feel maybe like you can come to your friends about a situation, but it may not feel like you can to a romantic partner.
Yeah.
Mm. With friends, also, too, I feel like it feels more of a, we need to work through this so we can, like, continue our friendship, but with dating relationships, sometimes it's just like, okay, well, now we're not gonna date anymore.
Like, it's a sign.
There's definitely a balance there too, because that's something that I still don't really fully know. Like, at what point in a, like, dating relationship do you work through it, and at what point are you like,
let's stop,
this isn't good?
Yeah,
because that's different, like, in marriage, but, like, in dating relationships, like, I don't even think I know.
True.
I mean, it could depend on the situation, but also if it's, like, okay, you've had multiple conversations with this person about the same thing, but it's, like, even though it resolves in a moment, it always keeps, it continues to happen. Uh-huh. It's, like, okay, then maybe, like, you guys aren't compatible, or maybe, like, the that person, like, just isn't ready for a relationship, yeah. or, like, you need to part ways because uh-huh. it's not getting fixed.
Or maybe they don't, like, respect you. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, that's another thing, too. I guess things regarding respect would be a much bigger issue yeah. than, like... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think one thing, too, like, most of my, like, friends, like, close friends are, like, all girls. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I could just say whatever, like, we're all girls here. But for, like, a relationship, I'm just, like, it's, like, more uncomfortable because, like, I'm not really sure how to, like, relate to you in that way. You know, like, so, like, how guys' friendships are more, like, rough and, like, they, like, say mean things to each other. Me as a girl to a guy, I do the same thing. I'm just very mean. So, like, if I'm dating you, I don't know how to, like, address it without being mean. So I just go away. But that's, like, me. I think I just, like, need to work on, like, my interpersonal relationships first. Yeah. Because, like, it's just kind of uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. Are there any red flags in a partner that you've noticed?
I'd like to go first. Okay.
You're so cute.
Now I'm remembering. Okay. I definitely have... This is, like, the biggest one. The way that they talk and act around their friends, if they...
Yes.
Like, you can witness... You can tell a lot about a person and how they, like... Like, just their character about how they talk about women and girls around their guy friends. Because they can act however they want to you when you guys are hanging out by yourselves and in a small group and with other girls. But, like, how do they act when they're comfortable around people... And just, like, who they choose to be friends with is important, too. Because if they're around other guys who constantly, like, maybe objectify women or just don't speak about women as if they have, like, feelings and hearts and, like, minds, then you can really tell a lot about them because, like, how are you comfortable hanging out with people like that all the time? Mm-hmm. And also, why, when you let your guard down, is this what you're saying? You know, mm-hmm. like, why do you feel comfortable saying that around other people? And also, like, if they're going to say that while you're there... What are they saying when you're not there? Like, yeah. how much
worse?
Yeah, how much worse? Because, like, why do they feel comfortable saying that around you? Yeah, that's been something that I've, like, experienced before, and then I run for the hills because I'm like, oh, my word. Like, it really says a lot, too, about their character, because if either they agree with that, the way that their friends are mm-hmm. saying, the things that their friends are saying, or what they're saying around their friends, or they're just saying it because they know who they're around and they want to fit in. Either way, this is bad. Like, I don't want to be around somebody who, like, changes who they are and what their values are depending on who they're around.
Yeah.
Because that's also problematic. Because you're not consistent. Like, you're yeah. not consistently yourself and you don't know who you are or what you believe. Or you don't believe what you believe enough to, like, stay firm in it
yeah.
when you're around people who believe something different.
Yeah.
That's probably my biggest red flag is how they speak about women or the guys who just don't listen. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel like they're constantly, like, thinking about something else or something else is, like, grabbing their attention. Even just in friendships, like, no matter who you're talking to, if you're having a conversation with somebody, like, you should be...
Present.
Yeah. But I'm very interested in the way, like, if I think that a guy is interested in me, I pay very much attention to how he speaks to other girls, too, that he's not interested in. Like, if I can tell... that somebody's interested in me, I'll, like, watch... This sounds so bad, guys. I will just be a little bit more observant when they're speaking to another girl. Because I'm like, oh, is he only being respectful because he likes me? Or is he actually a respectful person mm-hmm. who, like, cares about other people? Because he should be attentive no matter who he's having a conversation yeah. with. So that's probably something that... Is that a red flag? It's an extension of a red flag. Yeah. It's a green flag, I guess. Yeah.
Wait, a red flag of them or you?
For them, like, it's a red flag if they're not attentive who they're speaking to. Because, again, it's like,
yeah.
wow, you're only respectful to people when you want them to, like, get back. Or when you're interested in them romantically, so.
Yeah.
Like, if you're only nice to me because you are, like, attracted to me and, like, are, you know, like me or whatever, but you're, like, a horrible person to my friends, that's a big red flag. Because I remember I dated someone who was really mean to my friends. And, like, I didn't really notice it. Until, like, after, and I was like, why did y'all, like, let me go out with that person? Mm. And they're like, so, like, yeah, just, I'm like, please be, like, generally a nice person and not just, like, just don't be mean. Like, that's such a red flag to me. Like, why are you just being, like, why are you willfully just being, a mean person to these people for, like, no reason? Mm-hmm. Another red flag is, like, just, like, is it, like, cockiness or, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like, especially, like, East Chicago, some guys just generally think you're less than because you're, like, a woman. And it's, like, very annoying to, like, talk to them because, like, I can literally say anything and you would just think I'm being stupid. So just, like, the fact that, like, you have so much, like, arrogance and pride. And, like, these are all things, like, everyone's, like, working on. But the fact that, like, you acknowledge it but, like, don't want to work on it, that's, like, such a red flag to me because, like, why don't you want to grow? Like, what is the issue? Like, you can think you're smart, right? That's perfectly fine. But, like, don't think you're, like, the smartest person on earth. You know what I mean? Like, that's so, so weird. And that's another red flag. Another red flag is, like, I think I dealt with this, like, if people are just aren't understanding. Because, like, everyone I date, I'm like, oh, I'm Christian. I do this. I do that. Da, da, da. And they're like, that's weird. And I'm like, oh. I get very sad. I'm just like, dang, they make me feel like, I don't know, like, I'm doing something bad or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's, like, mm-hmm. you're not being very understanding of, like, my faith or, like, of my culture. You're just, like, calling it weird. Like, I remember I was, like, explaining to, like, this dude about this, like, tradition on my dad's side. And he was like, he was just making fun of me. And I was like, dang, that makes me feel really bad. Like, why are you hating on my culture? That's so strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People who jump to, like, judgments about things before, like, their first instinct is to just decide what they think about it instead of listening and actually thinking about it. Yeah, people who are really quick to speak, like, really, really quick to speak and they don't, like, listen about things can be hard because you don't feel like you're actually having a conversation with them. Yeah. You feel like you're speaking and they're just being, like, talked at.
They just want to debate.
Yeah, yeah. Argumentative people are really hard for me to be around. That's a really red, at least for me personally. Maybe it's, like, really good for some people. Like, maybe you meet each other where you're at and you just have lively discussion. But for me, I can't be around somebody who's, like, a natural, like, arguer. Maybe not arguer, but debater. It's, like, exhausting for me because I will take it seriously.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work out, I found. Like, yeah, it doesn't work out because then I take it so much more personally than they do because I'm actually really thinking about it deeply. And they just, like, they just think it's fun to just, like, debate things. But I don't think I'm maybe wired that way.
Mm-hmm. I guess this one seems kind of silly. But, like, mama's boys are a big red flag for me. Just because, like, listen, it's good to love your mom, okay? Mm-hmm.
But please love your mom.
Please love
don't
your mom.
Don't hate your mother.
Yeah, don't disrespect your mother, please. But first off, mama's boys, they let their mom, like, get into, like, their relationship.
I feel.
Like, imagine you're, like, in an argument or, like, you and your partner, like, your spouse is having a disagreement. But he, like, well, my mom said this, like, like, I'm like, you told your mother about this? Like, I feel like, oh, no. Or, like, even the sense, like, oh, your mom did everything for you. Like, mm-hmm. she did your laundry for you. She did this and that. Which is okay. But you need to know how to do these things on your own, too. Because then, like, maybe they'll have that expectation going into marriage. Like, uh-huh. oh, you're going to do all the same things for me as my mom did for me. Like,
Or they need that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's not even the expectation. Maybe they're just not an adult. Like, maybe they don't know how to be an adult.
Yeah. I feel like for, like, some families, like, just looking from coming from, like, a, like, Nigerian perspective, like, some mothers are just very controlling with their sons, so then the son feels like they have to, like, have the perfect relationship in order to, like, please their mother, so then they, like, put all those, like, expectations on you, and when it doesn't work out, then the son in turn becomes, like, very, they just kind of treat you like you're trash, I guess.
Oh, like, switches up once you're not his girlfriend anymore.
Yeah, yeah, like, they, like, kind of switch up on you once you're, like, not meeting their mother's expectations, whereas, like, cooking or cleaning or, like, doing your laundry, like, whatever type of things. And I feel like that's very red flaggy as well, because, like, why are you letting your mother control your expectations for this relationship?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this is just F-boys.
Oh, I agree with you.
I remember, I think I talked about this last time, but yeah, I had a coworker at my first job, and he was just very nice to me. He seemed like he was really, like, invested, and I was new, so I was like, oh, he's the only one who's, like, really talking to me, and it's just really chill. And I kind of liked him too, just because of that. Like, he seemed like he was very invested, he was really respectful, like, mm-hmm. everything. And then one day he just did something that was not so respectful. Just like boundaries, physical boundaries. And I think that moment I realized, okay, like his intentions were not pure whatsoever. And he was just like manipulating me. And yeah, and he like, and yeah, the thing he did, I thought it was in my head, like, oh, like it was just by accident, whatever. But he actually admitted to doing it like later that night when he texted me. And I was like, oh, he's, like, joking about this. Like, he thinks, like, crossing those, like, physical boundaries, like, without, like, my permission is, like, okay. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, all silly, goofy, like, charm. Like, I don't know. Like, he thought...
Yeah, like, that's not cute.
Yeah, I don't know what he thought my reaction would be when he admitted to it. But, yeah, I just hate when guys, like... Yeah, just, like, act like they have these, like, pure intentions and that they really want to get to know you as a person. Mm-hmm. But then they switch up and they just let their true nature show and it's, like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. Definitely felt that because, like, I had, like, a similar... Look, it was my fault. Because, like, all my friends were telling me and I was, like, no, he's so nice, guys. You just don't get it. But
you
yeah.
don't know him like I do.
You don't know him like I do.
He's misunderstood.
Yes. Because, like, at that time, I was like, oh, my God, I found someone, like, exactly like me. We're literally going to be besties. And then all my friends are like, oh, so he's literally just, is, like, using you because, like, he likes you. And I'm just like, no, he did. And then he was very mean about it and, like, manipulative and, like, all those bad adjectives. And I was like, oh my word, that was his whole intention from the beginning? That's so sad and like frustrating and like, you know, it made me really angry because like, dang, I should just listen to my friends. But like I thought he had like pure intention to like be my friend, but like he didn't. And then like he like literally like took advantage of like the whole situation. So it was just like very frustrating.
It's hard because I think that type of hurt, like the experience when that happens, it extends into like all friendships too, even if it's not a guy. That feeling of being like lied to and just like you experience their kindness at face value, like you experienced it as kindness, and then when you find out that it wasn't like with the intention of actually getting to know you and being your friend, that like hurts. And it like, yeah, I mean, everybody talks about like relationships and like friendships and stuff, but and like what people like people's motives, but I think something that I've just become so much more aware of is how, like, lasting effects that, like, actions just have on other people. Because once, like, that happens to you, you're extremely guarded. Like, you're more guarded, which some of it can be good. Like, you need to be, like, kind of, like, vigilant in a way. But also, it's so hard because then you're not able to really fully trust people as, like, quickly. I wanted to talk about another red flag, though.
Yeah.
Guys who just cut corners. Like... This might not be a red flag for everybody, but guys that just like to, like, weasel their way through, like, the systems and, like, get what they want and, like, put in the least work as possible. Like, there's a certain amount of, like, being, like, I don't know, efficient and, like, getting stuff done. But when you're, like, constantly, like, seeing what rules you can break, it just, it makes me suspicious. Because it doesn't feel respectful to me or, like... Yeah. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, guys that, like...
Don't respect the way things are done.
Yeah, like, they don't respect any sort of higher, like, authority or order or system that's been put in place by, like, people of authority. Like, there's this... I think there is a certain line where it's, like, oh, this is unreasonable. Like, mm-hmm. I don't agree with this. Like, I don't agree with this ideologically, so I'm not going to be a part of it, or I'm going to, like... participate in it but not like respect it. Mm-hmm. But then there's a difference between that and just having like an inherent like they have like a deep disregard for all authority. That's a really big red flag for me, because God's an authority. Like, I'm a Christian and God is an authority, and so mm-hmm. if you're not able to like respect any earthly authority that maybe you disagree with at times, because I agree, like there are people who put rules in place that you don't agree with. Like, let's say your professor's making you do something and you don't agree with it. At some point, you have to be, like, recognize, oh, they're an authority figure. Like, I'm going to do it because they're telling me to. And I think that extends, because I think to me that says, like, oh, if you're going to, like, to such a drastic extent, like, disregard all authority in your life, like, do you also do that with, like, God? Mm-hmm. And, like, the Bible, when he maybe says something that you don't agree with, or maybe in the moment you feel like you want to do something, but you know that, like, you shouldn't. Are you also combative to God's authority? And I think, mm-hmm. I think there is a strong correlation there. And so that's, like, a really big red flag for me. If a guy just likes to break rules all the time, just to break them because it feels good, or because he just doesn't want to be, like, told what to do by anybody.
So we talked a lot about red flags that we saw in partners. Yeah, but what do you look for in a partner?
What I look for in a partner is that I really want them to have, like, their own personal relationship with God. I feel like before, I wasn't really looking for, like, Christian relationships. No matter how many times my pastor would be like, you know, equally yoked relationships are very important, right? I would just be like, well, I can change them later in life. It'll be all fine and chill. But that didn't really work out. And I feel like now I'm just, like, looking for guys who do have that general relationship. And not just because, like, I'm Christian, then they're like, oh, let me get into it, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to be, like, actually come from their heart. And not just because, like, they just want to do that for me. Like, it shouldn't be for me. It should be for, like, that. Like, they want to have that relationship. So that's what I look for in guys. And, you know, the fruits of the spirit, like, just nice, regular things like that that I'm sure Alex will talk about. So, passing the mic to her.
Yeah, okay. I wrote down a little listy list once Sanaa told us our questions. And I was writing down a list, and then I was reading over them, and I was like, wait, these are all, like, fruits of the Spirit. So, I'm a Christian, and so I think it's really important that the person I'm in a relationship with is also a Christian, because I would like to spend my life with somebody who is able to encourage me in those respects, and vice versa, and, like, just children-wise. Like, I'd like us to have the same values and, like, beliefs, so we can, like, that just makes more sense. And so, I think in the past I've, like, dated somebody and, like, oh, but I really like them. We just get along so well and I'm never going to find this again. Not true. Not true. You will find it again. That is a lie that your mind tells you when you like somebody. It tells you that you're never going to find anybody like them again. Yeah, you will. And actually, I hope you do find somebody not like them, because they're not the one for you. If you're a Christian and they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's something that they need to come to on their own. You can't put that on yourself to, like, bring them to Christ or, like, be the one that's, like, leading them there. That's, like, when you're dating somebody, you're trying to see, those things should already be kind of figured out amongst both of you. Like, you should both know what you believe and what your values are, and they should align enough that, like, you can, like, live together and, like, actually uplift each other for the rest of your lives. So you're supposed to be a team. I talked about that earlier. You're supposed to be a team. So, I mean, I was reading down the attributes, and I was looking at them, and they're, like, the fruits of the Spirit. So, like, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I think out of those, the most important to me are joy, patience, and self-control. I think those are the ones that I really, really look for, just because it's really draining for me to be with somebody who's not joyful. I think we actually talked about it at church today, but, like, joy isn't just, like, a feeling. It's not, like, happiness, but it's something that, like, is deeper when you know that, like, Jesus died for your sins. You can have joy even in the hard circumstances. And so if I'm with somebody who can't find that joy or can't, like, reorient their mindset in the hard times, that's a red flag. Well, we're not talking about red flags anymore. We're talking about what we are looking for, but that's something that I look for, because, I'm not going to be the one that holds you up, like, when you're having a hard time, because you are rooted in, like, Christ. And so I can be there for you and supplement that, but I'm not what's, like, keeping you going. And then patience. Yeah, I don't want to be in a relationship with somebody that's losing their temper all the time. You shouldn't really have... I'm not going to be in a relationship with somebody who has anger issues. Like, I would like you to be, like, patient and, like, understanding. I think that's really important to love other people, is to be, like, patient and, like, listening to them. And then self-control. I mean, that, again, goes back to, like, anger, but, like, I think it's really important. Like, I really admire people who are disciplined and who are able to do things even when they're hard. That's something I struggle with. It's like, if I don't want to do it, I'm just like, I'm gonna do it another time. And so I mean all of the, like, things I look for, like, in a romantic partner are things that I want to work on too. And so I think that when you're dating somebody, you're, like, seeing if you want to marry them, and so it's, like, super important to admire them and just admire their character, because, like, being around the person you're dating should just make you, like, want to be a better person. Like, you should be inspired. You should look at them and be like, wow, I love this about them. And, like, these are their, you should be able to identify their strengths. If you want to date somebody and you look at them and you can't identify what you like about them, or, like, characteristics that they have that, like, you admire, then why are you dating them? Because I don't think you really, like them that much as a person. You just think mm-hmm. they're fun to be around. And I think you should be able to admire the person you're dating, and vice versa. You should be pushing each other to be better. And so I think the fruits of the spirit just really, like, sum that up, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, yeah, obviously, as a Christian as well, just, like, I'm looking for someone who's, like, also a Christian. And just, like, the fruits of the spirit thing. Like, I'm not saying, like, non-Christians, like, don't try to strive to be, you know, kind and, like, have self-control and whatnot. But I think, like, all those elements are things that, like, Christians are, like, trying to get better at. Like, we obviously know we're imperfect, but we constantly, like, pray to God and just, like, look back at the word and see, like, how we can be better as people. And I think also the way that, like, Christian relationships go are a lot different. Like, it's just very God-centered. And, like, I remember I was watching a TikTok a few weeks ago, and this girl, she knew that her boyfriend at the time would be her spouse. Like, he was the person for her because she was, yeah, she was just very emotional, and she could tell that it was, like, getting to him because she just wasn't, like, acting the best towards him. But instead of, like, just retaliating, like, you know, just letting that out, she saw that he, like, went to the balcony and he opened up his, like, Bible, and he was just praying and just, like, calling to God. And I think that's, like, a really nice element to have in a spouse, where it's just, like, they're not just, like, letting that bottle up inside or taking it out on you. If they have, like, frustration that they feel, because obviously relationships aren't perfect, and they're taking those frustrations and, like, praying to God and asking God how they should handle the situation, I think that's just something that I really look for in a relationship, because I just show, I think that shows, like, how healthy that relationship is and how, like, how their walk in Christ is going and, like, how faithful they are to Christ, that they turn to him in those situations.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, and this is a silly, goofy question, but what are you guys' thoughts on PDA?
Oh, I have thoughts.
Yeah.
I have thoughts.
You have a lot of thoughts.
I have a lot of thoughts. I can go first, maybe. Wait, also, why don't you go first?
Oh, I don't like PDA. Okay, last time it was brought up that, like, I don't like it because I'm being perspective that, like, it's a guy grabbing a girl's butt in public, and that just feels very dehumanizing and, like, demeaning and, like, ew. But when it's, like, an old couple and they're, like, being all cutesy, go PDA. For me personally, I think depending on, like, where I am in that relationship, like, if we're married, then, like, I probably won't care that much, as long as it's to a minimum. But when, like, we're just, like, courting or whatever, I feel like I'll be kind of uncomfortable with PDA, just because I hate being perceived.
Yeah. I had a specific experience on a train where I was just hit with, like, loneliness that day for whatever reason. And I was, like, I had just been, like, journaling about it before I got on the train, about how I was kind of, like, feeling lonely and, like, just kind of sad. And then I got on the train and I sat down, and then this couple sat right in front of me. And they were, like, it was, like, PDA, but it wasn't, when I say PDA, like, that's any form of, like, public displays of affection. But it was, like, very genuine and, like, tender, and, like, you could just tell that they just really loved each other. But it wasn't like they were, like, making out. It was just, like, he had her arm around her, and they were, like, holding hands and, like, just talking, and it was really sweet. And in that moment, I was just kind of, like, angry at them. I was just, like, oh, how dare you, like, sit here in front of me and do that? And then I was thinking about it. I was like, actually, it's fine. Like, you're good. Like, it's okay. You can do that. Mm-hmm. But I think it made me think about, like, the difference between them and then the middle school couple who I had, like, seen earlier that day, who were just, like, touching each other. You know there's a difference when people are just touching each other. And I just can't believe, I personally could never do that in public. Also, that just makes me so uncomfortable, because, like, why are you so, like, comfortable touching another person when it's obviously, like, kind of objectifying, like, I don't know. I think PDA, like, about a relationship, like, oh, so you were talking about, like, you don't like being perceived. I think any form of, like, relationship will be perceived in public. Like, it's going to be perceived by other people. You're going to have to be okay with it. Like, when you get married to somebody and you kiss them on the altar, like, people are going to perceive your relationship.
That's so gross!
Yeah, and you're just going to have to be okay with it. You have to be confident enough in what your relationship actually is, that, like, what other people think of your relationship isn't going to bother you. But PDA, like, there's such a, like, strong distinction in, like, the PDA, because some PDA is just so genuine and, like, you can just tell that they love each other, and some PDA is like, oh, they just want to, like, touch each other all day. And so at that point, it's like, it does say a lot about the relationship to people. And I think, I mean, I don't know, I think I'm okay with, like, the genuine care sort of PDA. Because I think when I, like, really care about somebody, I do think I, like, I mean, I, like, I'm very, like, physical touch with my friends. Not, like, a lot of physical touch, but, like, I'll, like, I don't know. I just, I like hugging my friends and, like, touching them. And so I feel like it'd be the same in a romantic relationship, but I don't think to other people it would make them uncomfortable. Because I don't think it's saying anything about the relationship that I'm not okay with people knowing. Like, oh, yeah, I love and care about them. So I'm gonna, like, I'm gonna, like, lean into them and, like, I'm gonna, like, give them a hug or, like, we're gonna, like, hold hands.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna be comfortable, like, making out with them. That kind of thing. And so, I don't know. That kind of thing. And then, I think it probably would be the same of PDA between when I'm, like, dating somebody and when I'm married to somebody. I don't know. Do you guys feel the same way? Or does PDA change once y'all are, like, married?
I think it changes.
I think for some people, it's, like, oh, you have that, like, dating phase or that honeymoon phase. But I feel like once you get married... Mm-hmm. I mean, some people, the love is still showing. It's still, like, when you see the old couples, like you said, and it's like, oh, you know. But I think for some people, they're like, oh, like, I don't want to be, like, all up on them or, like, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, you've just been married for so long. It's like, oh, you know, that's
I thought I was meaning, like, once you get married, like, you're more comfortable with PDA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I don't think I'd be more comfortable before or after. Because no stranger that you see... Oh, maybe it's different between strangers and not strangers. But no stranger you see is going to know if you're married or not.
That's true.
So either way, I feel like same level of PDA on my end, at least, what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
But also, maybe with friends and family. Friends and family, I feel like it's the same. Because if I'm, like... I don't know. I feel like once you get to a certain point, it's just going to make people feel uncomfortable anyway.
I'm, like, the same with confrontation. Like, I can do, like, friends. I can be, like, I can do whatever PDA with friends. Like, in public. But with, like, someone I'm dating, it just feels more awkward to me. Because, like, I don't... Just, like, the way it's being perceived, I guess, just feels awkward for me. I feel like it'll be better when you're married. And it's, like, oh, whatever they think, it shouldn't even matter. I'm married.
Do you feel like somehow would it make you more uncomfortable... like PDA in like around strangers, or would you be more comfortable around people you know?
Strangers.
I feel like strangers.
Me too.
Yeah. I don't know, just something about showing PDA in front of my mom, like,
right?
I just like, I don't know, that doesn't sit well with me. I mean, obviously it doesn't have to be anything like that, well, but even like holding hands, I'm like, oh no. I'm the same way. I'm kind of a hater, like, I don't know, just lonely girl stuff. Like, whenever I see people like PDA in public, I'm just like, dang. Sometimes it's like, okay, that's gross, but like,
yeah, sometimes it's like, stop right now.
Yeah, stop. Like, that one, it's just because it's gross. But like, the pure one, it's like, oh yeah, I just wish I had that. But yeah, I think it's a lot about intentions. Like, you can really, even as a stranger, you can really tell the intention behind the PDA. Like, you can tell when it's just very lustful, or when it's just very pure, like, you really care about this person and you're just like showing your affection through like holding hands or hugging them and like embracing them in that pure way. So it's like, it depends on it. Yeah. So we're wrapping up the podcast, guys. And we just talked a lot about some juicy subjects when it comes to dating. And I wanted to end off with asking, are you in your single era? Why or why not? And when I say single era, I mean, you know, Are you purposely single?
I'm in my single era, but I'm like being a exclusionary about it. Cause like last year, like winter quarter, I was also in my single era, but then I lucky kept thinking about it. So then I ended up just not being single again. You know what I mean? So I feel like now, if I just keep it open, I will just think less about it. Which has honestly been true. I have not thought about like guys or like relationships until this podcast, because I'm kind of forced to think about it. It's really nice. It's just like, I don't know, I love these centering men. It's so lovely. But yeah, I'm open to like that possibility, but I'm not like pursuing that at the moment. I'm like, I like being single. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Is there a reason why you're in your single era?
Yeah. Well, okay, so single era, I'm purposely single because any opportunity that's arisen to be in a relationship, I don't think that it's going to be a good relationship. And so then I'm just like, no. Yeah. I'm...
Oh my gosh. We need to go.
Yes, I'm single.
Yeah, guys, we're in our single era, but yep. It's because we're working on ourselves and our relationship.
Yes, yes, yes. We prioritized. Yes.
Sorry, we have to go. I just want to say.
Should we say why we're leaving?
Yeah, we're heading to our friend's surprise party, and he's heading back.
My day is horrible at planning.
He's heading back earlier than he was supposed to. But I just want to thank our guests for coming on today and helping out with the podcast. Thanks.
It's Osa.
Bye.
Bye. It's Alex.